You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework. Here's your host, DevOps Institute CEO, Jane Grohl.
Hi, everyone. This is Jane Grohl, CEO of the DevOps Institute, and welcome to another episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm really excited today to talk to Kat Cosgrove of JFrog. We're going to talk a little bit about different paths leading to a career in tech. And I think Kat and I both have kind of unique stories, and hopefully if you're listening and you're either on the road to a tech career or you're thinking about a tech career, maybe some of this will give you some inspiration. So welcome, Kat. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what your current role is, and then share what your path has been to your career today.
Sure. So again, my name is Kat Cosgrove, and I'm a developer advocate at JFrog. What that means is I'm basically a bard for tech, if you're a nerd and you know what a bard is. So I advocate internally and externally for engineers at JFrog and for our customers to help people understand better, like, why DevOps is useful, why that can improve your workflow, improve efficiency, and specifically how our tools help you do that. I am still an engineer. I spend about half my time at conferences talking, but I spend the other half of my time actually like writing code and building hands-on demos and proofs of concept that kind of make my point for me so other people can play with it. Before that, I was an engineer on the IoT team at JFrog, so I was doing embedded Linux development, but I got there from a boot camp. I don't have a college degree, and in fact, most of my work experience before this is in like tech support, or I was a bartender for a long time, and one day I kind of got tired of hating my job, and I rage quit. Which was satisfying, but I wouldn't actually recommend rage quitting a job. You can't always afford to burn that bridge. And I signed up for a coding bootcamp. I went to Code Fellows in Seattle, and I picked it because it had the reputation for having the most difficult curriculum of any of the many bootcamps in Seattle. I went through the Python 401 program, learned to be a web developer, and spent a couple of months after graduating working as a TA there, which was super valuable to me. And I like web development because I like building stuff, but what I like more is throwing a ton of time into making sure that I don't have to do menial tasks anymore. I like automation. So liking automation was pretty natural for me to get into DevOps from there. I also do a lot of tinkering at home, so getting into embedded Linux development was also pretty natural from there. I am still not sure how I managed to convince JFrog that I was a competent engineer. It still kind of like blows my mind, but... I got the job and I killed it, and we built a really cool proof of concept proving that it doesn't have to be difficult to update the firmware or the applications running on cars over the air. And it was a very flashy demo that resulted in a lot of speaking requests and requests for more information about the demo. And I was the most gregarious, I guess I'll put it, person on the engineering team for that proof of concept. So I was giving all the presentations about it, aside from one series that were done by our technical lead, Brennan. And I guess JFrog liked what they saw when I was on stage, because they offered me a different job as a developer advocate. And I'm pretty happy doing that. It's fun.
You know, that's an amazing journey. I mean, if you think about it, from, you know, rage quitting to being on stage to moving into a developer advocate role, which is certainly a trending role, right, these days, where DevOps it is taking on a whole kind of life of its own, you know, and starting with just a little seed of interest, right? So you know, some people, and again, not to dismiss academic programs, not to to be dismissive of traditional learning, but, you know, many of us learn different ways, right? We learn, and I think that's an important human characteristic, that learning happens on a very individual basis, right? You can't force somebody to learn. And how they learn, like, for example, I recently figured out I'm an audio learner, right? I could read book after book after book, and for some reason I have a problem synthesizing it, but if you explain it to me, I get it right away. Right? Some people are kinesthetic, you know, they have to touch things in order to be able to synthesize their learning, but it's all good, right? It's all good. It, you know, as I shared with you, Kat, before we started recording, I'm also an accidental technologist. I just ended up in the right place at the right time with a bachelor's degree in music that I didn't know what I was going to do with, right? You know, at a time when a commercial environment took on Unix, and I just happened to find something that I really liked and I was good at, and then grew a career up from there. So I think part of the message here is that particularly, you know, we would be remiss to not acknowledge that while we're recording this, the world is kind of, you know, locked down because of COVID-19, and people are in different situations. They're working from home. Stress is higher than usual. Leadership is in many ways sometimes confused in terms of how do you lead remote teams if you've never done that before. And so, you know, I think the underlying message in your journey, and thank you for sharing that, is that now is a good time to learn, to just keep growing despite a lockdown, to not feel so repressed in either your job or your future or even in your work from home circumstances, that's a very positive step to take in a time when there isn't a lot of positive news out there, right?
Yeah, definitely. If you've got the emotional bandwidth to learn something right now, now is a great time to teach yourself a new skill.
Yeah, teach yourself a new skill. See, I love that, right? I mean, yes, at DevOps Institute, you know, we have 8 certifications. We have partners all around the world that are doing virtual instructor-led training. We've just also opened up our testing program so that if somebody wants to take a certification, we've removed the prerequisite, and all of that's good. But how you learn, right? How you learn, whether you learn through the dynamic of being around other people, right? That's, you know, formal. Whether you learn because you go into a sandbox and you just experiment, right? Whether you learn through microlearning, right? You learn by going to a boot camp. I think the message is keep on learning. So let's fast forward to today, right? So today we have people that are in unique situations, which truthfully, you know, we're having to invent things to do outside of our normal work because there isn't much to do, right? Today's Friday, just as we're recording it. And so I'm like, well, what are we going to do this weekend? Well, there's much to do, right? Yeah. So what would be your advice? If you were going to advise somebody in terms of like how they could optimize this time, right? What would be some of your suggestions? I mean, obviously you self-motivated. How can we motivate other people?
So my friends and I we're playing an MMORPG together. That's how we're maintaining like social interaction. But I have a lot of friends that are both in and out of tech, some of them with formal educations. Some of them, you know, aren't in tech at all, but every one of your friends probably has a valuable skill that you don't have. So you can kind of, if you're both starving for knowledge and starving for social interaction, and I am, you can do a kind of like knowledge share with your friends, teach each other something, you know? So you would be surprised what your friends know how to do that you just like, you have no idea that they knew how to do that. Like I knit, and I don't look like the kind of person who knits. I know y'all can't see me on the podcast, but I'm very easy to find pictures of, long neon orange mohawk and a lot of tattoos. And I don't look like a knitter, but I knit. And that's surprising for some people. And it's a useful thing that I could teach somebody. If you don't know how to like bake, that's also a useful thing. Or you're really bad at taking care of plants. You probably have a friend who's super into plants who can help you keep something alive. I can't keep plants alive, so that's not me. Don't talk to me about that. But I also have friends who know programming languages that I don't. I know Python and JavaScript and Go, but I really want to learn Rust. And I'm thinking about learning Scala. And I have two friends who are like aggressively passionate about how great Scala is. I don't know Java, so that excites them. I guess there's some conflict between people who are fans of Java and people who are fans of Scala, but I'm going to get them to help me learn Scala because I do need to be very hands-on when I'm learning a new programming language. I have to build stuff, but there's just one thing that I build over and over again. I just build a CRUD app with some kind of like REST API and database interaction. But that's not enough to really like master a language. So I need them to like give me projects. And that's a useful thing you can be doing with your time that also gets you, you know, social interaction and a skill that might be valuable or at least fun once things start kind of returning to normal. And it's just, you know, it's good to have intellectual enrichment, whether it's going to be beneficial to you in a money sort of way or not.
But, you know, it's funny you say that because my running joke about the kitchen is since this started, I've become a mad scientist, right? Like, what, you know, it's like an episode of Chopped, right? What do I have? What can I make, right? And it is even on the tech side, like, what have I got? What can I make? But, you know, I love that. I love the peer-to-peer spirit that you're sharing because for a couple of things. First of all, learn something new and learn it from somebody that's got that expertise, I think is a very human connection, right? When you share your knowledge with somebody else, whether and you're right, it doesn't matter whether it's knowledge about baking, knitting. I was at a conference once where the conference that came after us, by the way, was a knitting conference. And so you walked into the lobby of the hotel and there were like 50 people knitting. So a different conversation, right? But so when you said that, I it just brought me back to that. But I do think peer-to-peer, right? Peer-to-peer creates a different human relationship, a different human connection where you're saying you have a skill that I would love to learn a little bit more about. And I have a skill that you would probably like to know more about. And we can share that really comfortably.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, if you take that by extension, is actually very DevOps principle, right? Where we've said sharing knowledge, experimentation, continuous learning, peer-to-peer are really kind of the core values that sit under DevOps that have really nothing to do with technology and nothing to do with, you know, what the outcome would be. It's a very human-centric, you know, opportunity to cross-skill, right? And to do it comfortably in a trusting relationship where I share with you some of the things that I'm good at and you share with me some of the things that you're good at. So whether, you know, in this environment, that's a great opportunity to practice that.
It really is. And like everybody has blind spots, you know, like there's for sure a ton of things that I don't know that maybe most people know. And it's good to fill those gaps, you know?
It also puts you in a different human relationship. You know, we do an upskilling report every year, and one of the key categories is what used to be called soft skills. We've reframed it as human skills, right? And so empathy, right? Empathy, being able to put yourself in the shoes of somebody else, right? Being able to be vulnerable, to say, I don't know that, right? And instead of some people like to pretend they know everything, right? I don't know that. Show me.
Yeah, emotional intelligence, I think, is a really, really underrated skill. And it's something that that boot camps actually like push really hard on, at least the one I went to. There's a whole learning module on like empathy and emotional intelligence and, you know, how to interact with other people organically and make them really feel like you care about the conversation you're having, because it does matter. You can't just be a knowledge sponge and know everything. If you can't interact with another human, like organically, you're not going to have a great time.
And you're not going to be successful, right? Because at the end of the day, a lot of what helps us move forward, you know, I would suspect that one of the reasons JFrog identified you as a great developer advocate is as much about your technical skills, but also about your human skills, right?
And I think so. And I would credit my ability to interact with other engineers and other people as well as I do in an engineering role with the fact that I was a bartender and worked in food service. Like, it was my job to make people happy, you know, like people skills was literally part of my job. So that's something that you aren't necessarily taught in college. Obviously, there is a lot of like social reasons to go to a 4-year university, but I think that's something people maybe overlook sometimes about people who come from non-traditional backgrounds. My previous work experience in not tech is still very relevant to the way I do my job in tech.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, kind of going back to the different paths to a tech career. And I think, unfortunately, we've seen just a massive amount of unemployment over the last few weeks. And
yes.
With no end in sight, right? With no end in sight. And I think there's the economic toll on those individuals who are, when this is done, and it will be done, we just don't know when, right? Sure. Will be to emerge, hopefully, on a path that gives them satisfaction, gives them economic stability. And so again, if you're listening and you're one of those people that have been furloughed or you're unemployed, it is also a great opportunity to learn something. So Kat, tell us a little bit about the boot camp experience. I mean, you piqued my interest where when I think boot camp, it's like, okay, heads down, code, 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 code. But it sounds like it's much more than that.
It was a really heavy workload for sure. There was a lot of like code, code, code. CodeFellows works in, they have a 101, a 102, 201, 301, and 401 classes. And you can test out of those. I skipped 101 and 102 and went straight to 201. But in 201 is a month long and you learn like the basics of HTML and CSS and vanilla JavaScript. You have lab assignments every day. You have 3 or 4 hours of lecture every day. Then lunch, this is like an on-campus thing. And then in the afternoons, you have 4 or 5 hours of labs. Some labs are done alone where you have to actually build something. Some are done with a partner, so you can also learn how to pair program. You also occasionally have group projects. There is a group project at the end of every course, 201, 301, and 401. 401 also has a midterm where you're building something much larger with anywhere between like 3 and 5 people on your team. 301 is where they introduce jQuery to you. That's also where they start introducing things like SQL databases. In 401, you choose a language. Their current options, I think, are JavaScript, C#, Java, and Python. I took Python, but 401 is a little bit more intense. That's 10 weeks long. And 401 is also where they start doing what they call career development days. And that's the day where you start learning not just practical skills, like how to go to a job interview, like how to write a resume, how to network, but also just how to interact with other humans, like how to get people to like you, how to like be vulnerable, how to be aware of other people's emotions, how to deal with imposter syndrome, which is something that I struggle with a lot, even though I am like acutely aware when something is imposter syndrome, I still struggle with it. But the tech industry can be emotionally very difficult. Everybody around you is smart, and it can be easy to fall into a trap where you feel like you're stupid, even though you're not. So they spend a lot of time making sure that you can like handle that emotionally and be aware that the people around you are probably struggling with that too. So while I was spending a ton of time writing code, like it was not unusual for me to be on campus still at 9 p.m. I was also spending a lot of time learning how to transfer my skills from being a bartender or working in food service to being emotionally intelligent in the tech industry. And it was very difficult. It was a rough, long couple of months, but it was very, very much worthwhile. And I think most boot camps right now have transitioned to fully online for this. Like CodeFellows is still running fully online. A bunch of boot camps are also doing like really, really, really steep discounts for people who have been laid off or furloughed or just outright fired. I think CodeFellows is offering something like 50% off or something. And also the state, at least Washington, is offering like additional assistance with tuition to help cover it, because it's a really staggering number of people that are unemployed right now.
Yeah, and you know what? Thank you for that, because, I mean, first of all, it sounds very much like a structured academic program, right? Regardless of you know, whether it's a degree or diploma or certificate, who cares, right?
It is structured.
But more importantly, thank you for also sharing the fact that, again, if you're listening and you're in lockdown, whether you're fully employed, unemployed, furloughed, or whatever, again, really, really great opportunity. I before the pandemic hit, I read some statistics that said at the rate of technology acceleration just in society, that 40,000 software engineers will be needed over the next 5 years.
Oh, it's nuts. Like the unemployment rate the unemployment rate for engineers in Seattle was like 1% or something.
Yeah.
There are way more jobs than there are engineers.
It's crazy. So again, if you're listening and you're thinking about your future and you're thinking about, again, regardless of your situation, but I think everybody is looking to move their career forward. It sounds like a good plan. So we're going to run out of time, and I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge that JFrog is really taking some steps to help in this horrible situation of pandemic. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So as of yesterday or the day before, I think, JFrog is providing access to all of our cloud tools, Artifactory, X-Ray, and Pipelines for free to any team or organization that's actively researching and fighting COVID-19. So you get 250 gigabytes of free storage space a month, 500 gigabytes of free data transfer, 5,000 build minutes, and if you like start approaching one of those quotas, we're not going to just cut you off. We'll get in touch with you and we will work something out. There's no time limit on this. You have access to all of it for as long as you need it. And you also have access to our technical support for free, all of it. So if you are an organization or a team that's actively working to fight this, please get in touch with us. You can just Google JFrog Frog Care, and that'll get you the press release from our website, the blog article for it, where you can sign up, or you can reach out directly to me and I'll get you in touch with somebody to help you get set up, because we want to do what we can. And if what we can do to help is give you access to tools that make it easier and more efficient for you to do the work, it's yours.
That's fantastic. I mean, there's so much work, global work, that's being done to fight this horrible disease. And I think, you know, JFrog and other members of the tech community coming together and offering support and platforms and you know, research capabilities is really our way of showing that, you know, we're all in this together, right?
Yeah.
And it is, as I said, a health crisis, a human crisis. There's nothing more human than supporting those that are trying to help us overcome it. So that's fantastic. Kat, thank you. I think hearing somebody's journey, which may not have been the, I graduated high school, I went to university, and I came out, and again, no disrespect for that. I think that, you know, for many, that is a proven path. And I think for many, that is an expected path, right? But I also think there are other paths. As I said, I fell into it completely by accident. I have no formal education in this. I kind of learned it on the streets. You know, you took the path of going to a boot camp that sounds like it was fantastic. And there are boot camps now that are offering their services to help equip the humans with new skills, particularly as we move forward, you know, on the technological scene. So thank you for your transparency. I think you're an inspiration for those that are thinking that just because I didn't go to college, I'm excluded from this.
Thank you for having me. I'm always always happy to be honest and vulnerable about where I came from. And all I want out of it is for somebody else to finally feel like they, okay, I can do this.
Fantastic. And I want to see some of your knitting creations because as I said before, I'm not a knitter. I have no dexterity whatsoever. Music degree, can't play the piano. But I did go to that conference a couple of years ago. It was in Santa Clara, and the conference after us was called Stitches, and it was a knitting conference. And there were 50 people sitting in the lobby of the Hyatt Regency in Santa Clara knitting. And so now I have to picture you sitting among that group, because we've met in person, right? So I have a visual. So I'm just going to picture you sitting in that group. So you'll have to share with us. We will put up Kat's social contact. So when the podcast publishes, if you do want to reach out to Kat or Jay Frog, we'll make sure that information is available.
Awesome.
So thanks again. Really so appreciate your openness and your willingness to share your journey with us. For those of us that are going through lockdown, I hope this finds you well. We had somebody yesterday who recorded who is in the middle of New York, right? And wow. We don't want this podcast to only be, you know, the pandemic podcast, but hopefully, as you're listening to the Humans of DevOps, you're just getting a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of positivity, that when we come out of this, everybody is set off on a new path. So Kat Cosgrove of JFrog was my guest today. Thanks again, Kat. This is Jane Grohl of DevOps Institute, and you've been listening to another episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Stay well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.